Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN Tuesday evening, December 14th. This is Deborah with you this evening. Glad to be here. And thank you for joining us. God bless you. I hope everyone is having a good day. And as we're in the middle of our preparations, in the middle of the month, and wrapping up the end of the year, so to speak, when I say wrapping up. And anyway, I hope you're having a good day. I know sometimes as women, I'm sure it happens with men as well, but our schedules could get a little fuller during the holidays, all the extra added things. And so I'm just thankful to the Lord just to be able to, you know, make those, even mostly it seems like I spend a lot of time at the grocery store, making a trip to the grocery store. So God bless. I'm happy to use my hands to bless the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to feed his people, so people he loves and the people we love. So, so I'm thankful for that, and I hope that you are as well during this season. Well, tonight I do want to pray before we open up, but again, I thank you for joining us and those who are joining us live and listening online. God bless you, and I hope that you're blessed by the word of the Lord tonight and by ministry time. You're welcome to dial in. There's also Direct Connect that you can, I believe that's still functioning and working. If you need to know how to use that, you can text the program, and they will send you the simple directions on how to use that so that your phone will not be charged. So also the dial-in number is 319-527-6027. And for those of you who maybe just be joining PGN or come across this broadcast at a later time, PGN was established by Randy Chandler, and it is, 7 days a week. They come on and minister Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There are hosts who host from 7 to 9, approximately, Central Time. And then Randy comes on at 9 until whenever he's done ministering. You can call and get prophetic ministry from him as well. And then on the weekends, there's different co-hosts as well. So there's a lot going on here, a lot of prayer, a lot of ministry, a lot of prophetic, and just good encouragement. If you're a prophetic person, you will be encouraged. You know, we have a certain lingo that we speak when we're alive in Christ and the fountain of living water is flowing. We just get each other. And even when we talk in abbreviation, sometimes we just get each other. So that's always encouraging to be around the people of your own. Well, let's pray, plus the people, the Logos word and the Rhema word. Okay, yes, praise God for that. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, Father God. I thank you, Father, that it would be a blessing. We thank you for your word, God, that it teaches, it guides us, it directs us, Lord. I thank you as believers, we would recall and remember that Satan is a defeated foe. I thank you that Christ lives in every believer. I thank you that you empower us to live triumphantly for you and that your word guides us. We thank you for this day, and we acknowledge the light of your truth and your marvelous light, and we thank you for miracles to be done during this season, God. We still celebrate your miracle oil. And just your miracle, God, miracle season for coming forth, for unto us a son is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We welcome you in your fullness and in your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we stand on your word, Jesus, that you would stand with us, that you would breathe into it and create, Lord, just billows of your presence, billows of your provision, God, billows of encouragement, Lord, speaking to the hearts and the minds of those who belong to you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, it is your nature, God, for us to triumph in all that we do, God. And let our hearts and our minds, Lord, be on track with your will and your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so the Lord spoke a word to me. He spoke these words to me, the just shall live by faith, sometime between last Tuesday and this Tuesday. And yesterday morning, I was saying, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to, I was like, I lost it there for a minute. But I just sat quietly and praise God. He spoke the words to me again, the just shall live by faith. And it reminded me that he already spoke that word. I said, yes, that's right. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad that I just got still and quiet before him and allowed him to whisper that again to me. So today, as I did that, and I just want to tell you, this unfolded the way that I am going to, and this is generally how a word will come to me as well. I'll hear something. The Lord will breathe a breath of something, okay? So, and this is how I've learned it from a pastor that I had. He said, when you hear the breath of God, when God breathes on something, that's what you follow. Okay, and usually that's how it does happen with me is that, and then he takes my natural, curious person, and I will seek and search what it is that he wants me to know in regards to what he's breathed on, okay, and just take my natural train of thought too, okay, and asking him for wisdom and for his grace to lead me by his grace and asking for wisdom as I place what he's breathed before me, okay. So the words, the just shall live by faith. So I pulled that up. I knew it was in Hebrews 10:38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And so I knew it was in other places in Scripture, but I didn't exactly know where. Okay, so Galatians 3:11 and in Romans 1:17. So Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And I don't want to move too fast because I get excited in the spirit. I get ripped up. And then Romans 1:17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And those are the three places that it came up. And then, lo and behold, there was an article written by John Piper, and I opened that up because I do respect him, and I wanted to get some history behind it and see what I could glean there, and that's where I learned that Habakkuk, I know there's different ways to say it, but that's how we're going to say it tonight, Habakkuk had it 2:4. It's actually written in there as well, which I didn't know that, but this had my natural curiosity, okay, so then and Habakkuk, here are some things that we want to learn from there. So as I came along with this, I knew where I was going to go with the Hebrews one, which we'll end with that. But as searching out the Habakkuk, let me just say this, three chapters in Habakkuk, the first two chapters, he's dialoguing with Yahweh. Habakkuk is, there's 12 minor prophets. He's the eighth of the 12 minor prophets, okay? The first two chapters, he literally is dialoguing with Yahweh, and then the third one is a song that he wrote. Okay, so the major theme, if you will, over Habakkuk is the growth of faith, of perplexing and doubt, even in the times where it's perplexing and there is doubt, to the height of absolute trust in God. Okay, so it's a time where it's perplexing, and he has doubt, but it gets heightened to absolute trust in God. And I thought, wow, this is very uncanny, the timing, and even what is happening here and now. And so in the third chapter, there's ultimate faith in God, even if he doesn't understand. And this is where he's talking about, okay, so what happened was there was going to be judgment was going to happen. and Habakkuk. And God was going to punish the people, the Israelites, and he was sending the Chaldeans to punish, and he's telling Habakkuk this, he's telling his prophet this, his minor prophet, that the Chaldeans were going to come and bring the punishment. Punishment was coming to Israel, and the Chaldeans, it was going to come by the hands of the Chaldeans. And that this was God's choosing, and this is what he did. Okay, this is what was perplexing to Habakkuk, and also he had doubts, what's going on, what's going on? Well, here are some things that, I forgot to add this, is that some scholars think Habakkuk may have been a temple prophet. And so part of this day, as I was preparing, was actually John and I were spending some time together traveling and doing some errands and stuff. So I just brought my stuff in the car, and I was reading some stuff to him and asking him questions about certain things. And, I said, hey, have you ever heard the term temple prophet? I'm not sure that I've heard that before, And he said, no, that he hadn't heard that. So that had my interest. And it says that may have been that he was a Levite and a singer in the temple, which would have accounted for whether drawing some of those things from chapter 3, out of the premise of chapter 3, okay? So I thought, well, now that's interesting, because we know from the Levite family or tribe, they were a tribe of priests, okay? So I think that's interesting. It doesn't say priest for sure, but it says he may have been a Levite and a singer in the temple, which this would have opened the door. Had he come from that type of family background, it certainly would have opened the door for him to be in the temple as such, correct? Yes. Okay, and so then the, not rabbinical, but the tradition, the rabbinical tradition, but it's the tradition from the rabbis, I'm not going to pronounce it right, holds that Habakkuk to be, okay, so traditionally when the rabbis teach, they sometimes teach out of tradition. So the rabbi's tradition is, when they teach out of Habakkuk, is this, in the Jewish community, is that Habakkuk was held to be the Shunammite woman's son who was restored by the life of Elisha. I was like, whoa. So there's this possibility, because Habakkuk isn't mentioned really anywhere else in Scripture other than in his, okay? And so the rabbi's tradition holds that Habakkuk to be the Shunammite woman's son who was restored by the life of Elisha. And that's found in 2 Kings 4:16. So isn't that something? Okay, so then, as we go on, I thought to myself, some of the things here is the just live by faith. He means banking your hope on God no matter what. And I feel like we are somewhat in a season. That's uncanny in the season that we're in right now. And some of the people were proud, and even some of God's people. And, the proud people whose strength or ingenuity is their God will come to a woeful end. Even though they may enjoy prosperity for a season, either as God's chosen ones in Judah or as victors over Judah. Okay, so all the proud, they were both ends of it, whether Jew or Gentile, will perish in the judgment. So here we're going to unpack this just a little bit if we can. But Habakkuk stresses the positive side of the main point, namely that the just shall live by faith. Okay, so, that's where he was a little perplexed is, okay, so the Chaldeans. So then I thought to myself, well, who are the Chaldeans? And I was asking John, so I was researching this more, reading it on my phone as I was doing it. And they were the Babylonians, okay, the southern Babylonians, okay. So they were power players in the world during that time. And so the note was this, is that who are the power players in the world today, whether nations, companies, groups, individuals, where they have reached this state without God's knowledge, right? or maybe they know God, but they did it out of their own means, okay, out of some type of pride, out of their own means. And pride, we know, can be wear very many different masks and be very subtle until we're actually in it. It reminds me of a snowfall. I grew up in Michigan, and it used to just snow 3 feet. Like, you'd wake up in the morning, and there'd be a foot of snow on it, and you never heard it. There was never a broadcast. You just wake up. It's silent, but then it's completely covered, and there it is in your face, and you have to deal with it, right? That's kind of like how pride can be sometimes, too. Very subtle, sneak up on you, but then once you see it, you got to get out of it. You got to, you know, get your boots on and get out of it. Okay, we don't understand, and neither did Habakkuk, why God allows this rise or fall, but what we are to do is to trust that God is going to make things right, okay? And so, back to that. So then in Hebrews, somebody moved to Hebrews, and you know what Paul, so I thought Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I have kept the faith. Just how important that really is. And he said, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith, okay? And, okay, our relationship with the Lord, you know, this manner, John Piper gave an example as, you know, being married, a man and woman are married. They pledge their love and faithfulness to each other for better, for worse, richer, for poor, sickness and in health, to death do us part. And that's true between a husband and wife, but how much more between us and God. And so that's what he's saying. When we pledge our love to him, it is like this type of relationship that we have. Okay. And so here's some things. I'm just going to read this out of this this particular book as a, let me make sure I got the page right. This is talking about the severity of judgment, because that's what came to Habakkuk, was there was a judgment that came, and it was from God on the people, right? He sent the Chaldeans to the Israelites, and he was going to judge them, and then it says later that he would judge the Chaldeans himself. So it's interesting. Everybody gets judged, okay? Everyone, no one's going anywhere, but everyone gets judged, okay? The severity in Hebrews 10, okay, so Hebrews 10:38 states, the just shall live by faith. But just before that, he's talking about three reasons for the severity of the penalty, okay, of what they are. And here's what they are. The reason I want to state this, these is because they are severe. And God is not only talking to the unbeliever, he's talking to us as believers. And this will set you straight. This can be sobering and shaking at the same time. And I think that's even in light of you know, what's happening and the words that are going forth even now, those were my two words, is that is sobering and shaking. And I want to see it. We need to see it the way God sees it and the severity of it from his eyes, from his perspective. And even as I was reading it, John and I were thinking of, he has a friend who is, unfortunately, a Jehovah's Witness. And I was just thinking, I guess from my point of view, I was thinking originally, like, just how lost he is and how blind he is, and like, how could he be so off track? Like, his heart was searching, and then this huge deception came in and swept him away, right, is what I'm thinking. And while there's probably some accuracy in that. But then after I read this, I just thought the severity of his soul that's on the, like, he needs to know. It shook me a little bit more to make sure that I'm fully awake, and that when I share Christ, I'm fully awake with sharing Christ to others so they know what they are saved from, okay? So one is the reasons for providing severity as a penalty, severity of judgment from Christ would be they trample the Son of God underfoot. Okay, and this is likely that they deny his deity. So God has made Christ his son and a part of the triune Godhead, okay? And those who arrogantly rebel or mock against it are trampling under his foot, okay? So that's one thing. They trample the Son of God under their foot. Number two, they're treated as unholy things, the blood of the covenant that sanctified them. This is so important. This is so important. The blood is still speaking. The blood still speaks a better word. The entire central section of the letter had stressed, okay, it's talking about Hebrews, the blood of events, Jesus' blood sacrifice, that for salvation. Those who abandon it will be mocked, that sacrifice, and treated as an unholy thing. I'm sorry, some of this is just very literary. The people consider Christ's sacrificial death irrelevant and of no worth. He was just another tragic death of an innocent person who Christ's person and his work are no consequence and simply don't matter. Okay, that's something right there. Okay, number three, insulted the spirit of grace. So the movement has been from contempt to indifference to insult. Okay, those three things. It is clear that those who have committed these despicable acts are no longer Christians. The spirit of grace is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The title sums up the grace that God's evident throughout this letter. The spirit is the means by which God's grace is given to his people and experienced by them. And the rebels have insulted, that's in quotations, all that he is and has done on their behalf. And they have been given the gifts of the Spirit and become partakers of the Spirit and then have thrown it all away. So he's talking to believers over the verb, goes from insult to actually outrage. It's possible there's a double meaning here, and it connotes the wrath of God behind his reaction to such horrendous acts of these who abandon him in such a way. Okay, so those are things that trample. The Son of God treated him as unholy thing, as the blood covenant that sanctified them. Insulted the spirit of grace. Okay, those are some severities from God's judgment that would come upon those. And it says here, it is used in the Romans 12:19 and shows God will extract his vengeance against all enemies, including those of Israel and the church who turn against him. No one is exempt of his justice, and his justice will prevail. That's interesting. The Lord will judge his people. This makes explicit what was implicit in the preceding quote, that God's own people are included in the extremely serious warning. The readers of the letter cannot consider themselves free of responsibility just because they are members of the church. Come on. The warning in 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for the judgment to begin with the household, with God's household. We are all mandated to remain faithful to the Lord at all times and in all things. Okay. I'm speaking to myself here too. Okay, and then there's also two things in Hebrews. There's the vertical side and the horizontal side, it's saying here. The center on the triune Godhead that lives, that's the vertical side. And then the horizontal side is confessing Christ and admonishing one another. Okay, the previous generation had done so and triumphed over their adversity. The readers had better get their act together while there is still time. At least they go down to a spiritual defeat. So that's in Hebrews. So he's talking to them, and he's literally saying, this commentary from Hebrews, that they, in the Hebrew time, which can certainly be relevant for us as well, that we better get our act together. And we don't want to go down in a spiritual defeat, okay? And we're talking to generations. It's generation to generation. Even when they were delivered in Moses' time and the Egyptians, they were delivered, he said to even commemorate that time, if you will, by declaring and remembering the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that this would be, they would teach their faith, teach their people, their children, and so forth and so forth. Be faithful and do not shrink back, okay? The writer is, in effect, saying that if we do shrink back, they will be like unfaithful Israel, and the judgment will fall on them. So that is what happened in Habakkuk's time. They were unfaithful, and Israel was the worst. You know, in Jewish time, and people are very sometimes enchanted that they were God's chosen, and they have a special blessing on them, and they do. Those two things are true. But some of their sins and what they did and how they continually repeated and walked away from God, and honestly, sometimes they were bad. They were, I mean, I don't know if they're worse, but they were bad. So we don't want to shrink back, okay? We do not want to be found unfaithful. Unfaithful is a form of judgment, bringing his judgment on us to be unfaithful, right? Okay, so the second part of Hebrews 10:38, and that's where the part comes where the just shall live by faith, and that particular verse shows the expected response to this incredible news, completely thrilling for the faithful and totally devastating for the unfaithful. Both in Habakkuk and in Hebrews, the righteous one, quotations, is the persevering believer whose behavior matches their commitment and who will live by faith. So there we have it. Faith, in quotes, comes to the fore in the next two chapters. Okay, so that's chapter 10, so chapters of Hebrews, chapter 11 and chapter 12. That word faith is going to come up 24 times in chapter 11. This is what it states here. So I think it's interesting that even this commentary has this number thing in here, because what I found was interesting too is that, and the number 24, the Lord's used that number for me before in regards to angels. And so it definitely had my attention there anytime I see the number 24. And Habakkuk, though, when it says the just shall live by faith, that was Habakkuk 2:4. So isn't that interesting, okay? And depicts that the believing mindset of the faithful, but their active lifestyle. To live by faith means to make the Christian faith the barometer for all decisions. And Habakkuk 2:3-4 was the major text for the early church, becoming the critical text in both Romans 1:17, that's where we started, and Galatians 3:11, that's right where we started, okay? So that was, all of that does wrap around and wrap together. And then lastly, let me make sure this was my, Lastly, it says, God warns the church as he did Israel and Habakkuk. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, namely those who actually abandon. Okay, he's saying the apostates, but this is deliberate on the part of the writer. Okay, hold on, I'm sorry, because he's talking literary things like the clauses and stuff like that. Somebody's talking about the way that it's written, because then it's later written where it can almost be reversed. So they're changing the order of it. But it's God's people who are in danger of living by faith. So as we're saying is God's people are in danger. It's saying in the New Testament that we are in danger, like we need to caution ourselves that we can live by faith, but then at the same time we can shrink back, right? So that he's warning them. Let me see how he specifically says it. The danger of living by faith and then shrinking back. Excuse me. So it's, you know, the expression you've heard people say, it's not over till it's over. And many of you have probably been a believer and Christian for a long time and have friends who have been believers and Christians for a long time. And how many of them maybe have drifted away? Okay, drifted away from the faith. Okay, let's go get them, friends, okay? Shrunk back, okay? You know, whatever it might be, okay? We want to help these people and to continue in the faith. And this is why it's important that we encourage one another as well, okay? So this is an empathetic warning against the weak Christian community that can fall away from the faith, and at the same time, a positive encouragement to boldly march forward in faith. trusting the Lord to enable us to triumph over the opposing forces of evil. And that is so true. And just going back to the very beginning of this, is that we need to trust him to make things right. And even if things are perplexing to us and we have doubts, there are heights. We will go to heights where we can absolutely trust in God. And then we're going to do this by faith and according to his word. Even when we don't understand, you know, we hold on by faith, and it's faith that pleases, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we are going to be a people who please the Lord, and we are going to live by faith. We're not going to be faithless. We are going to be faithful. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every listening ear. God, I thank you for just how you just unfolded your word, unfolded your truth, and your purposes and your will according to your word, Lord, and bringing it forth, Father God. I thank you, Lord, just for the privilege that you entrusted that to me to bring it forth, even, God. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Father, just that. We could speak faith. We could speak encouragement daily, one to another, God, and building each other up, Lord, in our most holy faith, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, and speak to us in the days ahead, and your words ahead, God, and your logos and your rhema words, Lord, that speak to our faith, God, that we take actions, God, that our actions match our faith and our beliefs, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we declare that we trust you and that we're going to trust you more, God, even when things are perplexing or doubting and we don't understand. God, we draw upon your word, Lord. We remember, as we talked about earlier, that Satan is a defeated foe. We thank you that Christ lives within us and that he's empowered us, and that you guide us according to your word, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that we would seek and search to know you more, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for opening up those places, Lord, in the coming days, in this coming year. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your blessings and double blessings, Lord, and your promises, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for your name, which is above every other name, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you, everyone, for joining me. I got that out pretty good, I think. Okay, hopefully. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines here. So 709-500, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? Hey there, can you hear me? 709-500? Hello, you might have me on, I don't think I'm on mute, but you might have me on mute on your end. Excuse me. Okay, 709-500. They might have, sometimes some people step away from their phone for a second. Okay, I'm going to come back to you because I'm not sure what's happening, and I want to check to make sure that it's not on my end, so 205-531, good evening. This is Deborah. Who am I speaking to?
Julia May from Alabama.
Julia May. Thank you, Julia May. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, 709, I will come back to you. So thank you. I'm glad I was curious if my phone was working okay. With my headset and everything. So good. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Julia May, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, just for the open doors, Father, and the places that you're opening up, Father, for her to walk in, and the spaces that you're giving her to walk in, and that, something like different doors, like at the bottom of the door is open, like where you would put your foot, like there's different doors that are open, and they're open like 2 to 4 inches where you could see the light, but they're open to you. So they're places that are being opened to you and for you to walk in. I don't know if they're just to explore And but there are doors that are being opened for you to walk in. I can see the light shining through. So I thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for those places, Father God, in preparation that you have for her, God. We thank you, Lord, for the fullness of your revealing, Lord, and as you draw out of her, God, the places where she's to walk and to step, God, and that she commits her way to you and trusts in you, Lord, and that you lead her by your steps, God, that you lead her. And I know there's a verse on that where we commit our way to the Lord and trusting in him, and he will, you know, make your path straight or direct your step. So, Father, I thank you for that, Lord. And actually, is that in Proverbs? I need to find that for a second. Okay. Oh, I got too many M's in there. Oh, okay. It's Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. Okay, that must have been what I was thinking. I thought there was something in Proverbs, because Proverbs is a way of wisdom. There's something with, okay. Yeah, so Proverbs 1 talks about, you know, the beginning of knowledge, but it's also, this is something how you're going to be led in your steps as well. So is by his, by something about like his, this in Proverbs 1 it talks about, here and this here it says like to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Okay, so there's somehow that you're going to be led forth, and in a type of a proverb, so which is a type of a knowledge or wisdom, instruction, you know, to perceive which, where'd you guys go, which door to go in. So there's a type of a proverb that's going to be leading you. And so that would be interesting when this takes place, if there literally is a proverb that would, you know, commemorate your steps, commemorate those places that you're going to walk in. But there's going to be a type of knowledge, instruction, and wisdom to lead you. So that's the type of the proverb that is leading you to the open door, and as you commit that to him. So I thank you, Lord. You're so interesting to me, Holy Spirit, and just inquisitive and delightful all at the same time, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in Julia May's life, Lord, and just the expectation and even the experience, God, and the anticipation, God, of these places, Lord, where you're where you shine your light is already shining on those places, Father God. So I thank you for it, Lord, that they are hers to explore, hers to walk in, God, and that they are indeed paths that you lead her on and that she will trust you in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, because I feel like, you know, some people might think in the natural, because sometimes when we, okay, some people might think in the natural, like, oh, which door do I choose? But, you know, like, I don't want to choose the wrong one, blah, blah, blah. But it's his light is already shining on it. And wherever you go, it's going to be the right one, because he's going to be leading you, again, like in a proverb, with his knowledge. And his, you're not even going to have a sense of, And I don't even think these other doors are going to be like fall to the wayside. It's just the timing possibly of it and I don't see anything being closed off to you. It's just because his light is already there. That's why I say this, is because the light is already shining there. And he says that he will light our way, right? And I don't even know. So as I say that, I don't even know if you've been praying decrees, right? In Job, where it says, decree a thing and the light of the Lord will light your path, you know? And so I don't know if you are praying decrees. Sometimes I say that word funny. But, I mean, it certainly is a possibility. But, again, there is something to be explored in the light of what he has for you that's being opened up to you. Amen. So there you go.
Amen. Yes, just praying, you know, do his will and lead me. So that's what I pray about.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Yeah, I almost want, like, in my spirit, like, as I'm, you know, seeing it, but then, you know, I kind of even want to use the word experiencing it, but I don't know, I might be just limited in my verbiage to explain it, but it's like I almost want to follow you and say, like, what happened in there? What did you see? What? Tell me about it, like, and, like, so excited for you, want to rejoice with you, you know? And so anyway, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing over there in Alabama?
You doing just fine, just fine. My sister-in-law was telling her daughter, my niece, that we've been praying for my nephew, said, you know, she was trying to talk, like, try to mouth his name. And I remember when I went to see Jennifer, you know, she couldn't talk because of the trait, but I could see her mouth saying, you know, mama, when she finally realized who I was. And I told her, I said, no, she can't really talk because of the trait in there. And normally they put a voice box stand on it, closed up, so it blocks the air coming out the trait. So, you know, the air normally come out the voice box. And I think they were changing her, and she was run out. I guess she could feel it. And the nurse will tell her, you know, because she's trying to clean that wound. She had got a wound, you know, from laying there. I said, well, that's a good sign because, at least, you know, realize that she can feel, even though, you know, she hasn't woken up. But I said, that's a good sign from God, you know, because I remember jumping.
Oh,
you know,
right.
She mouthed my name, and I told her Bubba, she mouthed Bubba, and he was able to see her. You know, she couldn't talk, but she just moved him off trying to talk.
That's precious. Wow.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just speak life to her, Father, the light of life that came to man, as your word says in John. Let the light of life come to her, Father God, at every aspect that she has need of, God. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God, her eyes, God, her brain, Lord, her voice, her throat, God, recovering all. God, we ask that you recover all, God. We will not settle for anything less, Lord. We certainly will not settle for asking for anything less, God, than recovery to all, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the light of man to come to her, Father God, to every cell, every being, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you for your wondrous works and your wondrous ways with your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So that's very cool. Well, very good. Very good.
Like Jumper has mutified where they blow the mist in your trait, so she might have had that because, you know, she still was hooked to a lot of stuff when I got there because she still was, you know, on the oxygen machine hook up, but they just turned it off at in the day. They had it on, then they started turning it off and then turned it, you know, on just a nightly little, you know, long rest. So, you know, it's a long process. God is able.
Yes, God is able. And I'm thinking to ask you, did you anoint her with oil?
Before she went?
At any time.
I think I have, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. Wow. So now are you, and you're Alabama, Did any corners of Alabama or, you know, pockets of Alabama get hit with a tornado or?
Not that I know of. You know, we got real strong wind because my son had told me about it. The storm was coming, and I told him, I said, yeah, I can hear the wind because it was blowing some trash outside. And I mean, it was kind of, wasn't whistling bad, but I could hear it real strong. But other than that, then we got some,
yeah,
you know, heavy. But other than that, I don't know of it. Mm-hmm. But my brother, on my husband's side, his wife broke her ankle posting. They stay in Tennessee and away from the storm. They, you know, it hit, I forgot what part of Tennessee, and she was moving so fast she fell and broke her ankle.
Oh, my gosh, a poor thing. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've been praying here for the states. And I know Mayfield, Kentucky was big,
yeah,
but I know that there's other states as well that have been affected by this. So I'm just praying that, and I don't know, I don't know if we prayed last week or not. I guess maybe it just happened this week. But anyways, just as the Lord is providing food and water and shelter for the people, but also the community would, and I'm sure this is happening, just the community supporting one another and being unified and encouraging, and the ministries that are going in that that are of Christ would share him, that people would receive the Lord, and just really like this community-based thing would be even, the media would even allow that to be seen and known during this season. You know, not that they don't have a long way to go, because they do, but just helping, just allowing that to really be seen and heard during this season. And, of course, the rest of us doing what we can to, with a heart of Christ's compassion, to reach however we can, because I'm sure even, you know, people here that are listening, just like you're saying, have either family, friends, or loved ones, or maybe even sons or daughters who live in those areas, you know. So so I know people who are that I am associated with different prayer affiliations and groups and circles and whatnot are all praying, just so that those that are listening know that their loved ones are being covered, definitely in prayer during this time. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, because we forget just what panic and trauma can do to our, Well, thank you. Well, any encouraging word or anything of prayer that you'd like to share with the listeners before I let you go?
No, I thank you for your prayer. Like I said, and my other cousin wife, the one that we were praying for, she's doing better. She's doing much better too. The one that was on the ventilator, she improved more too. So thank God
good,
for that.
Yeah, thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you, Lord, for her release date from even the hospital. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Okay, well, it was good talking to you, praying for you. Very cool prayer came forth for you. So,
okay,
God bless
you.
God bless you. Okay. Whoa. Okay, I'm sorry. Everything just jumped. Let me go. Okay, let me go back to 709-500. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? 709-500. I see you have your hands up. I don't know if you have your phone on mute. You may have stepped away for a moment. I can come back to you. I need to. Okay, so I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if you guys are hearing anything, but okay, let me go here. 251-229. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Sarah.
Oh, hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, woman of God. I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Okay. Very good. Now, could you hear the caller that I was just addressing on 709? You couldn't hear anyone speaking on your end, could you?
No, I couldn't. They may be on mute.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, because it was pretty quiet. I mean, it was sound like mute. Okay, and I know sometimes people do walk away from their phone maybe for a minute. Take care of the things. Okay. 251-229. Sarah, let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for Sarah, God. We lift her up to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for the glory of God, just lifting up the glory of God, Lord, unto you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, you know, speaking of the just shall live by faith, that we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and that the Lord is like literally lifting you up in the glory of God as you do this. And there's certainly, and you might sense it as like a covering, you know, or like his grace is on you or you have a covering, but it's literally the Lord lifting you up in these places. And so I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I don't even know like what happens spiritually, you know, where it says we're seated in heavenly places. And sometimes we do know, like, we do know when these things happen when, like for me, like when I'm in prayer sometimes, or if I'm praying for someone else or ministering to someone else in that moment, I can sense it. But then in other times, it's like it's maybe initiated, and it's all given certainly, you know, we're apart from him, we can do nothing. And we are just, he's the vine and we're the branches. But, and so in some sense, he's always initiating it, I guess, if you think of it that way. But, and then other times where we're going about our day and just doing certain things, he's actually, he's actually lifting you up in those moments. And I don't know, like you could just be even just like crossing the street, walking on the sidewalk, thinking about certain things, pondering about certain things. And the Lord is actually lifting you up in those moments. And I don't know if it's even a type of revelation, while it may be at certain times, but at other times there's just, I just sense this like love and covering where he's just lifting you up to just draw you closer to him. And to get a different glimpse of like the revelation of, well, a different glimpse of, so think of revelation as an understanding and knowledge. So when I say that, so a different experience of heaven, of his glory, of his presence, certainly an awareness. So, you know, could be even provision, a place of provision. You know, a lot of times when he has that, and even Psalm 91 talks about this too, you know, that we have the Lord's presence, his protection, and his provision, you know, and he gives his angels charge over us. So I'm sure they have probably have an active role in this as well. Is so these angels not only are, the Lord gives the command to them for us to protect us, and but also for provision, like how they lead us and they propel us into where the Lord would have us to go, into the ways of the Lord, the purposes of the Lord, you know, part of our calling and our destiny, right? So even when Isaac's servant, was going to find him a wife, and he came across to Rebecca. It was literally the angel of the Lord that was propelling him forward, leading him and guiding him right to her, you know. And then the understanding, his understanding was opened up into, like, this is the woman, okay, so here's how I test it to see, like, before the Lord, and then I reveal it to the person in front of me, you know. So there even might be some of that aspect that happens as well. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your working in and your working out, God, how you lift her up from glory to glory and faith to faith, God. I thank you, Lord. Yeah, you know, so even as I'm praying, you know, where he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, when the Lord is pleased, when the Lord is pleased with us, there's no telling what he will do, what that outcome will be, right? I mean, we have some likening when we look at the word of God, but even beyond that, experiencing that, I'm a look at, you know, the things that Paul talked about that he wasn't even able to pen accurately. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're rich in their depth and their, we get some of it, but then he's also saying there's way too many, there's too many things that I did that I could even pen or tell you about, or that he showed me, you know. And and so when the Lord is pleased with us, as he is with you, going from faith to faith, glory to glory, there's no telling to what extent he will go for us for provision, for protection, right, for with his angels, you know, and what we would even request of him, even according to our own understanding of him. And you know, because there were times where the patriarchs and the disciples, you know, would ask of him, and he would respond to them. You know, he would respond to them as a friend. And when we treat the Holy Spirit as our friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're loyal and faithful and honoring, right? And not dismissing and not trying to quiet or stifle or any, you know, when we literally treat the Holy Spirit as a friend and we ask of him there, and we're, and he's pleased knowing we're going to do this in faith, and it's leading us from glory to glory, which is his glory, as we are his vessels of his glory, there is no telling what he will do. So I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that even in that, and in that close abiding fellowship, Father, that there's a purity that comes and a washing that comes, Lord, because at that point, Lord, you know our thoughts and you understand our ways, even from at afar, God. And we just have to be so pure before you, Father God, you know, when we develop that, Father. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, and how she will shine for you, God, how she will bring your name glory and great honor, that you will be pleased with her faith, Lord, pleased with her walking and her steps, even by lifting her up. No, I don't know. There might be, I've never did a study on that, of the Lord lifting up, but there might even be something more in tune to that specifically as mm-hmm. well. But Father, we just thank you. We thank you, God, just for the fruitfulness of her life, and just your great pleasure and glory that you will instill upon her, in her, and through her, God, and that she will as well, right? When we come into the Lord's presence, we kind of reflect who he is and his virtues and his character. And so this good pleasure of the Lord, you will actually even reflect that to other people. That will be a reflection through you as well. So that's cool. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, I'm excited, you know, to hear the word of the Lord and him using you as his mouthpiece to come forward and be used by him to spread the good news, not only to me, but to others. So, amen. And glory to God. I'm just from glory to glory. And when you were mentioning Psalms 91 is, I always, like, I try to, on a daily basis, reflect over Psalms 91 and just give glory to God on a daily basis.
Wow.
So when you were saying it, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow, there really is something to that, yeah. So, wow.
Hmm,
that's very cool.
Awesome.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is awesome. Very
cool. Yeah, yes, God is, he's amazing. And just before I call the prayer lines and call PGN, I was reflecting with the Lord. I want to be more like you, less of me and more of you. And with your good graces and your tender touch, you know, it was like that's all I wanted just before I call the prayer line, because I just, you know, had some things going on with my daughter, and her name is Leah, and I wanted to get prayer for her specifically, if you could, if you would.
Just
that the Lord may lead and guide her.
Okay. Is she coming home for Christmas? Is she in college, or does she commute, or...
Well, yeah, she's actually she's doing her stuff online, and so she's in. Yeah.
Okay. All right, absolutely. I'll be happy to pray with her. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. So, Father, we lift up Leah to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We lift her up under the authority and request of her mother, Sarah, God. In Jesus' name, we bring her to your altar. And your altar of grace, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your rivers and your ways of grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. And there was that verse where I read it not too long ago about how, my goodness, was it, I forget who the Lord asked to throw the salt into the water for the water to become clear. And it stayed that way. I guess was it in the Nile? Was it Moses? I don't know. But anyways, but it was saying, like, and now the water is like that to this day. So I see the Lord, like, even asking her to do something, but it's according to the grace of God, him asking her to do some things. So just like the salt was thrown into the water, but it was the grace of God, right? Like, we become the salt of the earth, and the grace of God, washes away all things, and it cleans all things, you know? So I'm not sure what that is, but I see, the Lord asking her to do something or some things or something. And it really is according to his grace. It's by his grace he's asking her. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, God, that you would give her the assurance of your ways, Lord, that unction would be so clear to her, and that would be indeed of your guidance, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, just how you are creating her to be yielding to your voice and to your heart, God, and how you're developing that in her, Father, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, how you are indeed leading her. You know, as I was saying that and praying that, I was recalling, Sarah, how... you were sharing about your mother some months ago and the loss of your mother. And I was just thinking, you know, that she was a Christian woman and whatnot. And I was thinking, because I have prayed, you know, over my children and even my future grandchildren who haven't even begun to walk on earth as of yet. They may be, you know, in the womb developing right now, you know, as I'm speaking. But anyways, but how I've always prayed and always said that even my prayers will outlive me. And so I think that there's prayers that your mother has prayed, certainly that you have prayed over your daughter that are actually still living. And maybe even prayers that your mom has prayed that were like she won't see with her eyes, but the prayer has outlived her, if that makes sense. It's a continual working of the Holy Spirit on Leah's behalf, you know. And it is a precious thing when, oh my God, this has no limitations, you know. Like I personally did not grow up with a good backdrop of, you know, not from a pastor's family or anything like that, you know. So God certainly has no limitations in how he can move and what he has instilled and called a person to do. But when you do have a good foundation and background in prayer as such, it certainly is very, very helpful. And one... First and foremost, because of the prayers and the example that is before them. So there's an ongoing, work. The prayer is outliving her, which means, you know, she didn't maybe see it with her own eyes, the fulfillment of it, but it's still at mm-hmm. work within her, leading her, you know. So amen to that.
Yes. Are you there? You still here?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
You know, that is amazing how the Lord is using you. My daughter she's like, Mom, you know, I want to get baptized. So, and she said, the Lord is really dealing with me in that. Yeah. So when you were going forth and the Lord was using you to say, well, he's wanting her. And he's been really dealing with her because she's like, Mom, these are the things that I want to do. And it's my personal relationship with him. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. And at first I was like, okay, let me make sure. Okay, you know, and she says, I know, and it's my personal relationship with him. And she said it was about this mansion, and it was the water. And I was like, okay. And then she was like saying that, and my grandmother had something to do, well, her grandmother, which is my mom, had something to do with it. And she said the chairs were, music was with the chairs and it was water. And so I was like, wow. So she said, it's my personal experience with the Lord. So I just left it at that. And I said, you know, glory to the Lord. I mean, if it's your personal experience, then, you know, sometimes when he is giving us things to do and it's our personal experience, then let it go and say glory to the Lord, because when he was using you to say that, I was like, this is amazing, you know, how God was using you.
That is incredible. Wow. But that is wonderful to hear for her sake too, you know. So that's very cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, amen. I'm in total agreement. That is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and she said it was something that the Lord wanted her to do, like he was using you to explain.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
It's confirmation.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Oh, God bless you.
Because at first I was like, okay, are you okay? But she was saying this, you know, it's about the water, it's about baptizing, it's about, you know, and it was her personal relationship with the Lord. So,
yeah.
So when
great.
You were going forth, and the Lord had, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. That's exciting
yeah,
for her too. You know, that's got to be exciting for you. You know, ultimately, so. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much for calling. Thank you for the privilege of praying for you and Leah.
Well, I'm thankful to, you know, have that confirmation from the Lord, and for I'm thankful that he's using you, you know, to be his mouthpiece and to be his servant, you know, as a woman of God, Jesus Christ. So I'm excited. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for you too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. God bless you. Thank God for you, too.
Okay, God bless you. Have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you. You do the same. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, hey, everyone. I want to go back for a second to 709-500. Can you hear me, 709-500? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'm gonna have to come back. I'm not sure I'm not sure what happened. Okay, I'm gonna have to move on.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, 402-214. Hi, who is this?
Hi, Deborah, it's Sharon in New York.
Sharon, okay, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me put you on mute for a second, Sharon, while I pray for you, and then I'll come back, okay? Thank you. Yeah, just heard a little bit of background noise, but that's okay. So, Father, I just thank you for sharing, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. We just bring her to your throne of grace, Lord. And, Lord, I like how your word even says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And I like how it says, let us, almost as if he knows that we're going to be coming into agreement, praying for one another. If one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000 to flight. You know, I like the setting up of, hey, I know how you guys are going to handle this, you know. And I like it. You know, I like even the 2x2 thing. Let us come. So let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in our time of need. So I thank you, Father God, that Sharon would know this, Lord, that each and every time she approaches your throne, she can find your mercy. She can find your grace in her time of need, God. I thank you for that, God. And I thank you for any listening ear who needs that same assurance of the same word of your heart and of your ways, God, in Jesus' name, God. I thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness over her family, her faithfulness over her household, Father God, to do things your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for tethering her to the path of righteousness for your name's sake, God. I thank you, Lord, for making your name hallowed. God, I'm speaking of the Lord's Prayer. Making your name hallowed be your name in Sharon's life, God. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Hallowed be your name. Wow. And Sharon's life, God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Thank you for the establishment of your word, God, her participation and faithfulness to your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you lead her not into temptation and you deliver her from evil. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she forgives those who trespass against her, just as you've forgiven her, God. I thank you for the principles of the kingdom of God in your prayer, God, in your word, Lord, the principles, Father God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I just want to say again, the just shall live by faith. And you are justified by the word of God, by your participation to the word of God, to your yielding, to even just allowing his name to be hallowed in your life. Jesus' name, I thank you for that, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you would teach her, Lord, that she would take your yoke upon her and that she would learn of you. I think that's Matthew 11. And That you are lowly and gentle at heart, God. And I thank you, even though it starts off by saying all you who are weary and heavy laden. But even apart from that, okay, because we don't want to be yoked to anything else other than the Spirit of God. And we want him to teach us, you know, that his way is gentle. He is lowly at heart. He's humble. And we need to be taught of these ways as we walk in this land and with his promises, but especially if you're a forerunner, you know, and you're at a pivotal point, or not a pivotal point, but a place where you've pivoted in your family as a turning point, and like you're turning the treasure to the Word of God. And you need him to teach you to draw those things out of the word by his wisdom, by hallowing his name upon your name, and then leading, taking those treasures and then leading in a way that is yoked to him. And so you certainly have access to all the same things everyone else has access to. Anyone else who's grown up you have access, whatever that example would be in your mind that would seem too lofty or maybe unreachable, or something that the enemy would tell you, you know, uses to make you doubt that it's achievable for you. You have access by way of the Holy Spirit to all of that, and asking him to teach you as you go through those moments, because there are things in your life and in your journey that other people have not walked through yet. And you will be what the Holy Spirit teaches you. You may be teaching other people, but it is teachable and learnable to others as well, but certainly to your own household, to your own that are following behind you and the generations to come. So I bless you with the knowledge of the Lord. I bless you with finding the treasures, treasure troves in his word, for you to live out the kingdom of God, to live by faith, to those turning treasures that unlock the destinies for the generations that follow after you. So we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Deb. Yeah, I was getting some interference, too.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if you would pray with me that it could be God's will that he stop this hacking of my phone and my email and the constant harassment that I'm getting.
Okay.
It's really bad.
Okay.
But I'm grateful that God is showing it to me.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, we just pray over Sharon's everything, God, that would receive media, everything electronically, Lord, that she owns and works with and stewards, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we just break off any forms of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, Lord, any interference from the enemy, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we cut that off, God, and the silver cords, we cut them at their root in the name of Jesus, and we declare that they belong to you, Father God. We thank you for the investment, Lord, that she's a steward of it in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, Father God, that you would clear the airwaves, Lord, that you would even, I don't even know if there's tech angels, Lord, but you would make supply for clearing the airwaves with that, God, even her computer, her email, God, her phone, anything else, a tablet, anything electronic, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray the blood of Jesus to cover it, the blood of Jesus to be upon it, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for just breaking any evil assignment, God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, God, that, again, just breaking witchcraft, any forms of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, any sorcery, in the name of Jesus, any silver cord, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we cut those off and break them now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the richness of your word and the richness of your faithfulness, your spirit and your blood. In Jesus' name, that you would reconcile, God, as your word says in Colossians 1:20, you reconcile all things unto yourself, whether things on earth or in heaven, that you bring peace. So we speak the shalom peace of God over every electronic device that she has, Father God, in Jesus' name, that it be reconciled through the power of the cross and the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. And your word, Lord, your word says, in all things, Father, and these are all of her things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you. Okay, God bless you. Oh, I'm sorry.
You too. Oh, I was just going to say that phone number that you keep trying to go back to.
Uh-huh.
You know, the prefix is 500.
Yeah.
That's not a real number.
Oh, it's not?
I've never, you know, you can look it up yourself, but nobody has a regular phone 500.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you for the 411 on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, honey. Thank
All
you,
right.
Deborah.
Okay,
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too, honey. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, callers, I have two more callers, and I think I can do it. I can do it. 910-709. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Sylvia. From North
Sylvia,
Carolina.
How are you?
Hi.
How are you
all
doing?
Right.
Good. Okay. Let me just see where I'm at right here. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. I just need to. Okay. Righty. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let me get back on track here. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for Sylvia, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for you are the one and only, God, that our devotion belongs to, God, that we give praise to, that we give glory to, that we give honor to, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Lord, you know, as his word says that, or you know, Paul had said, that he runs the race, he's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. I see you running the race, like, but with the horse that has those shield things on their eyes, so that they're focused straight ahead, running the race, you know, with endurance and to win. You know, those horses have training and winning. They're equipped to be positioned where they are positioned, to have caregivers and caretakers that make sure that they're at their highest performance, their highest peak. You know, everything's tweaked and perfected and whatnot for the highest performance of excellence. And so we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then I also feel like I'm supposed to remind you that, I don't know if I've spoken this before to you or not, I'm not sure. But to remind you that the Lord says that he, like, to rebuild, it's not always, there are, the Lord's a small, he can do it with small numbers. You know, when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah and it went down to 10 righteous, right? It was 50, but then it went down to 10. The 10 righteous, and he said, yeah, I'll do it for 10. That the Lord literally can rebuild his church with 10 people, with 10 righteous people, you know. And so sometimes we think it's bigger numbers, but literally, you know, where it talks about be faithful with few, be faithful with a little, you know, that there really is a great outcome with that, you know, and God is counterintuitive. The things that happen spiritually are so counterintuitive than what we see in the natural. And a lot of it literally does have to do with faith. And that's one thing that I love about the Lord is that, I mean, you can sit in a church service or even stand up in front of, like, or just imagine, you know, standing up in front of the whole church service, whether you sing or speak or just imagining looking at everyone in the congregation on a Sunday morning. If you have different generation from generation to generation, different social you know, backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different economical backgrounds, just different, you know, work ethics, where they were raised, so many different things that make us interesting as people and make us connect as well. But our faith is not judged on an outward appearance whatsoever. And it's interesting because God can do things with people just like he did with Paul that can really turn things upside down for some people in their framing and thinking of mind. But it's really by their faith and the calling of God. And God sees all of it. He sees how it, you know, he knows what the calling is. He knows how to prepare us. And he sees our faith and you know, and just like Job, he says, I'm going to bring him forth as gold, you know, and that nothing's wasted. Even in our trials, our tribulations and our triumphs, nothing is wasted with the Lord. And so I thank you for that, Lord. But even the little, so even the little, even the 10, God can do. He can rebuild his church with 10. You know, and at 10 faithful that are living by faith, living justly in faith. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for your word of encouragement that comes forth, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you how she stands before you, God, ready to run her race, God. And I thank you for her focus on you in Jesus' name. And I'm just now thinking of... is that Hebrews again? So I'm very fascinated with Hebrews. Just I don't know if everybody needs to know, but I was going to say, I'm very fascinated with Hebrews. I was going to say, I don't know if everyone needs to know, but you probably will be learning this in the days ahead. Hold on. Let me see.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it this way. Oh my goodness, what is it? Oh, it's, yes, it's the verse on, oh, it's Hebrews 12:2. Okay, I was in the wrong neighborhood there, the wrong chapter. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand throne of God. So hold on, let me go to, let me open this up a little bit more. So I think, oh no, okay, let me go to, the Amplified. Oh, okay, so this does say it a little bit different, but this is what I was thinking. I thought the word distraction was in there, but it says, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. So anyways, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Very cool. Okay. All right, well, amen. So do you have any specific, do you have any specific prayer requests?
Oh, yes, prayer for my daughter, Jasmine.
Okay. Okay, anything specific or just open prayer?
Just open prayer.
Okay. No problem. I know it might be, this is my water cup. My water cup is metal. It's a metal cup with a metal straw. So that's why it might sound like, I don't know, it might have, might sound bigger with the, than what's really happening. It's just the water cup. So So I apologize that that was sounded like I was falling down a tunnel or something. So, Father, I just thank you for Jasmine, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray, Lord, and lift her up, Father, under the authority of your word and Sylvia, Father, request and authority as well. God, we lift up Jasmine to you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Okay, let me look up a phrase. I'm sorry. Okay, all right, so something else, hold on. Okay, I kept hearing the word, this is what I was hearing as I was praying for Jasmine, was what manner of man, what manner of man. And I know that that's spoken in scripture somewhere, so I was looking for that. And this here, what manner of man is this in Mark 4, 36 through 41? So they're talking Mark 4:35 through 41, that you might know the exact truth. That you might know the exact truth, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in this manner. Let's not forget this very clear intention of Mark as present good news, the Son of God. Okay, so there, I think there might be something there that must be verse 4 and then verse 31 from Mark. Okay, so Father, I just thank you, Lord, for just revealing yourself as the exact truth. We thank you that Jesus said he was full of grace and truth, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you are the exact truth, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, there will be nothing wavering. Nothing trying to make your truth murky in Jasmine's life, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, it says that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that it would be that manner, God, that she would have life in his name, in the same manner that she would carry his life and his ways, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she would have joy, that she would have his joy. She would have his love, God, and her needs, Lord, that she would be satisfied, God, and not certainly as the bread of life and as living water, Lord, that she would truly be satisfied for her soul, God, that there would be nothing limiting her, nothing drawing her in this world, Lord, that she would take on and abide with the Father for everlasting life, God, in Jesus' name, and life on this side, or this side of heaven as well, God. Lord, with your joy and with your love, Lord, in Jesus' name, that she would have the same manner of life that the Son of God has, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for fulfilling that, Lord, that thing that satisfies, like, and it satisfied in a sense of, like, content. Like, I'm content, you know? Like, so do you ever eat? And like, I love bread. I'm Italian. I love bread. I very rarely eat bread, to be perfectly honest, because bread will send me in a place that I will just eat carbs and carbs. I just will keep eating it, you know? And so I've learned that I cannot do that. And so just for the sake of my blood sugar, you know, my weight, my, you know, everything. And so, but there comes a place when I do eat bread now, like if I have a bowl of soup and I have bread that is very, it's very close to being Italian bread, I guess I find that to be the most satisfying, you know, not just like a biscuit or a slice of bread or any type of bread. It's very, very much like, or like French bread, Italian bread. It's very satisfying, and so what I do eat, I'm satisfied. I don't feel like I have to eat any more, but it's very, I don't know how else to say it other than it's just very, it's very satisfying and very settling, and I don't, it doesn't, and so I see that happening in her soul, you know, and coming to that place with Jesus where it's literally very satisfying, where the world's not pulling on her. That she's missing anything, that she needs more of anything, you know, and causing her to even question or doubt even in her own self. And even talking about the Just Live by Faith and opening up about Habakkuk, talking about how he himself was perplexed and had doubts, you know, and but came to reason, to trust, and to live by faith, you know. And so I'm seeing that, what manner of man. So I don't know if there's something more in there, but so be it unto her in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Yeah. She's at a crossroads, and I think the Lord is calling her in, and I guess things that I think she's shocked enough. Nothing is. She's not finding contentment, and I'm telling her that's because, you know, she needs to come in. I believe she has a call on the life, and she's finding contentment in shopping and traveling and everything else except for God. So what you prayed is really, really what's going on. And so I'm just praying for her, you know, to, well, the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, to bring her in, because I believe he's taking her to that place she called this morning. And she was just like really, really, you know, in tears and breaking down. And I don't believe she knows that it's God, and I tell her it's God, but, you know, she feels like she can work through things herself without coming in. So I told her sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. So I told her, that, you know, to really pray to God and ask him, you know, and try to come in, because I wouldn't want it to get, you know, worse. But all those tears, I believe that's what's going on. And then on the 31st, she's having surgery. She was having an issue of blood, and they're removing fibroid tumors. So I think she's at a place now, and it seems like then she's working two jobs, and she's overwhelmed. So,
yeah, that would be overwhelming.
So that's what's going on with her.
Wow. God bless her. So Lord,
believe
we just
that
call her in. Yeah, we call her in, God. We thank you that you're drawing those things out of her to call her closer to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for the fulfillment of your word and your promises for her, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray that her surgery would go well, that it would be successful. We pray for the surgeon's hands. Lord, that you are the God that goes before her. We pray Psalm 21:21 over her, God, that your eye is upon her and you watch her going out and her coming in. And let this be under surgery as well, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, let it be evident that the angels are there, Lord, with her, protecting her, guiding her, and even the doctor's hands, Lord, that you would bless his hands with the wisdom and the knowledge of God, Lord, to operate on her. Father God, we thank you for a smooth and quick recovery, God, with no complications. And in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord, for being over her life, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying for us.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. Okay, God bless you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. I have one last caller, so thank you. 240-482, good evening. Who am I speaking to?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. How are you?
All right.
Good. Well, let me pray for you, and we'll need to end in just a few minutes, so let me grab a hold of this, if you will. Thank you, Lord, for Valerie, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift her up to you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in her life, Lord, and like I'm hearing proximity and circumference. So you know how you take on a map, I think they do it on a map, or I don't know, maybe it's a map, I don't know. But anyways, where there's that point, and then they draw that circle around it. So like this is the proximity or the circumference in this area or in this location. And so I used to say sometimes when I would really feel the presence of the Lord on my life, like in what I was doing or where I was going, whatever that, and I would use the expression of, I can really sense that I'm in the Lord's circumference. So which is like in the center. So that little pinpoint thing or, you know, the circumference that it goes around, but the center of it, that you're in the center of his eye and the center of his will and is upon you. So circumference and proximity. So, you know, I don't know if there's a sense of even drawing closer and drawing nearer. Oh, excuse me. Let me see something here. If I can... okay, wait, I'm not sure what that is. Okay, let me just do something. Okay, nearness in space, time, or relationship. So that's what proximity means. Nearness in space, time, and relationship. It's interesting that that's three things, and in the Hebrew, proximity. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Father, Lord, for her being in the center, God, for you to the closeness and drawing near, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Yeah, well, sometimes I guess when people do map things out, they map it out first and then they zero in on it, you know, like they draw near and go closer. But it's interesting when I'm reading that and those three definitions of space, time, and closeness is that in the Hebrew, a lot of times when they explain things, they did it in various forms of three. They would do three different, they would express it the exact same way in three different, then they would use, it's a lot in the Hebrew if you look at, and it is a way to the Lord saying out of the mouth or two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I don't know if there's something that he's establishing, even using the words proximity and circumference. Over your life, if there's something that's being established in your life. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, for Valerie's life, Father, and for what you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thought there was one other thing, so help bring it to my remembrance, Lord, if that's so desire of what you desire to release or speak on over her, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I do see you know, the word that says that we are the aroma of Christ, and we do, when we draw, just like a normal flower that has an aroma, it still needs to be, you know, when you cut that, you put it in a vase with water, and when it's with other flowers,
or together with others that are like-minded, the fragrance is even stronger, and it's noticed even more. And but yet the single flower as well can have an aroma itself, but it still needs to be connected to this living water to have the nourishment and the place in which it can flourish. So that's very important as well, that it can be done individually, but also in a grouping as well. So I don't know if that's something there, like with the body of Christ or the fellowship, and even in premise to how we flourish as well, individually and whatnot. So, okay, I just seen my little box, so I do need to go. So thank you, Father, for that, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, again, just for what you're establishing in her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Okay, take care. Thank you. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and shalom.